Richardson, the running back. They give it to him over the right side. Dives. He's in. Touchdown. Trent Richardson.
We've been looking right corner of the end zone. Throws. Touchdown. Jordan Cameron. What a beautiful throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Reading the throw. He's going to go long. Looking long for Gordon. He's out there. He's got it. 10-5. Touchdown. No doubt about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
The clock is down to 4 days. 4 days and counting for the start of the 2013 Browns regular season. They open it up against the Dolphins, First Energy Stadium, on Sunday. We are going to get you ready for that today in a big way. Going to do it through the rest of the week as well. But today is a big show to break it down. We're going to hear from Andy Kent from Dolphins.com in a little bit. He'll tell us about the status of that team. Tom Withers from the Associated Press covers the Browns. We're going to hear from him at the bottom of this hour. And we'll get into some deeper discussion on all that begins in earnest with preparation. And we'll even give you a little look at Thursday night's game, the Broncos and the Ravens kicking off in Denver. We'll have Andrew Mason, who writes for the Broncos website, on that. Nathan Zagora, are you ready, my friend?
I am ready. 4 days away. And guess what? The Browns have a kicker, Vic. They have a kicker. How about it? Here we go. 4 days away. Kicking time.
Billy Cundiff signs with the Browns. Jason Pinkston goes on the shorter injured reserve list, so he could be back in action come somewhere around, what, November, I think, later in the season, get him aboard back from that ankle injury that he suffered. But, yeah, that's the move. We got the answer to that question. And the response from a lot of fans is not one of joy because I don't think – but here's my thought on that. No answer was going to satisfy anyone if his name wasn't Phil Dawson.
I think that is a fair point to make. I think that, listen, if you're expecting Phil Dawson from Billy Cundiff, don't. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. There are different kickers. Billy Cundiff, solid in the short ranges, not as good from deep, over 50 yards, 5 of 21 in his career. But, you know, listening to Rob Chudzinski talk about it, I was struck by one stat that he threw out as a man who fancies statistics and analytics, as Gerard would say. Myself, and that he's over 60% on his touchback rate. And we talked about with all the new people coming in at the bottom of this roster that was good. The impact of that was going to be felt the most on special teams. We also talked about how last year, the first three opponents that the Browns faced in 2013 all ranked in the top five in terms of yards per kickoff return last season. So they were three of the best. So to have a guy like Cundiff who's going to put the ball into the end zone the majority of the time, I think that was a smart move. And I think that's probably one of the main reasons why, even though he's not accurate per se as a field goal kicker from deep, he has the leg strength to boot it in the end zone on his kickoffs. And that will be very valuable for the Cleveland Browns, especially early in the season.
Yeah, I think the value judgment that the Browns made on this move was to get someone who could do just that, kickoffs being more important to them than field goals. Field goals matter. I mean, we're not going to be silly here and say they don't count. But in terms of the highest level of reliability and what that means, and we've gone over this stat before, if you had the very best in the league, how much of a difference does it really make to your team? Really not that much. Kickoffs make a big difference.
And you could have the best kicker in the league. Just ask the Minnesota Vikings, who had a kicker who went perfect for an entire season and then missed one kick that would have sent them to the Super Bowl. So really, at the end of the day, you just don't know with kickers. There is a lot of variation there, but now the Browns do have their kicker in Billy Cundiff. He's strong on the kickoffs. That is a good thing. And it's just nice that can be settled, that is not something that has to be discussed here. And as you pointed out at ClevelandBrowns.com, this was the plan that the Cleveland Browns have for this team this year. To bring in, they don't want to be kicking a lot of field. Let's be honest. No. They don't want to kick a lot of field goals. They were the worst red zone offense in the NFL last year. They want to be better. That's why Norv Turner is here. Norv Turner is here to make sure that this offense converts more scoring drives into touchdowns than field goals. And I remember Steve Young talking, and granted, this is not at the level that this Cleveland Browns team is at, where Steve Young was with the 49ers when he made this comment, but field goals are losing plays. Ultimately, when you're kicking a lot of field goals, you're not winning a lot of football games. You kick field goals maybe to win a game at the end, but teams that score touchdowns win football games in the National Football League.
If this team is leaning on field goals as much as it did through most of the 14 seasons that Phil Dawson kicked for this team, then everything that this regime is trying to put together, trying to assemble and sell, is all for naught. Forget about it. If this is what we're back to, if during the course of the season the offense comes down to Billy Cundiff's leg, foot, then you got a big problem, because that is not what the design of this team from the start of hiring Rob Chudzinski to bringing in North Turner to doing all the things that have been done to assemble this offense and the long-term plan for putting more of those pieces together on this offense. All of that is for naught, because you don't need to have an aggressive attack-style game, a passing game or whatever. You don't need to be this prolific, theoretically prolific team if all you're going to do
is kick field goals.
You just can't close the sale. This is about closing the sale in the red zone.
Close the sale. Drop the hammer. Hush down. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and
that's what
and
I want to see.
No, and that's what this team is really, again, focused on, looking for. By the way, we want to hear from you. We want you to call us at 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and we want to hear from you via Twitter at Browns_daily, or you can hit our respective Twitter accounts. I'm at VICCARUCCI. Nathan is at Nathan ZEGURA. So make sure you're there, you're hitting us with that. Gerard Cherry, by the way, will join us right around 2:30, making his regular visit to this team. Yeah, I'm really fired up. I get a sense of confidence.
There's
a tone. There's something in this building, and I was in the locker room a little bit earlier today, and there's something there too. I don't want to call it a cocky swagger, but definitely a confident stride from people like Trent Richardson, Joe Hayden, different players that just Brandon Whedon exuding a sense of confidence.
Yeah, and that's what you want to see. This is a team that has been chomping at the bit to get this going, to end the drought that has happened on opening day for this franchise and for this city and for these fans. As Joe Hayden said it best, he said, now we have to win this game. It's time to, quote, nut up. That's what Joe Hayden said. That's a direct quote, ladies and gentlemen. So they know that this is important. They are ready to get after it. And I had the opportunity to talk with Joe Hayden before we came on the air here, and confidence is the right word. They feel very comfortable. I think they're very excited about the game plan that's been laid out by this coaching staff in preparation of this game. They're going to get into more of that as they go through, obviously, the week with practice today, tomorrow, and, of course, Friday. But they did seem like a very confident bunch. They seem like people, and it's almost different. They're not excited necessarily to play the game. It seems to me that they know there's a task at hand, and they are excited to complete that task.
Yes, it's more of an understanding of what they are now and what they believe in. What do they believe in? They believe in the coaches on this team.
Sure.
And more so than they did previously. That's clear from some of the veterans like Hayden and others. And they try to be diplomatic. They try not to say and talk about the previous coaching staff by casting aspersions there, but when what they really are saying is they feel better coached, they feel better prepared, they feel there's a group here among, and you know, specifically with Joe Hayden, Ray Horton running the defense, Louis Chofi coaching the backfield, that they're getting those intricate coaching points that they didn't get before.
Yeah, exactly. And that elevates and allows these guys to feel like they know, without having to question it, that this coaching staff is putting them all in the best position to succeed and to maximize their talents and their ability to deliver the goods on Sunday. So that is a feeling that allows you to play without, you know, reservation or hesitation. And wanted to also add in some more good news, because I think that attitude is a good thing. And we have a kicker. That is a good thing. Barkevious Mingo in pads, taking part in positional drills, according to Tom Withers of the Associated Press, which is kind of apropos because Tom Withers of the Associated Press will be joining us here on this show today. It is a big show. It is time to get down to business. It's time to prepare for the season opener. So we have Tom Withers, bottom of hour number one. Andrew Mason from MaxDenver.com, also in hour number one, to help take a look, a broader perspective on the season opener, which is the Baltimore Ravens and the Denver Broncos. Hour two, you talked about Gerard Cherry. And we'll also be joined by Andy Kent from the MiamiDolphins.com, who will give us a little bit of a Dolphins perspective on this game.
Yeah. Boo. By the way, Andy's actually, that order just got shuffled around. He's going to be here right around 1:50, so maybe in like 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, we'll Andy Kent coming to hour number one.
We'll make him the lead off to kind of set the tone. Audible. We call it an audible.
Red 38.
That's right. You know, I think what you were saying, too, about Mingo is good news, but keeping in mind that it's still a day-to-day deal. I mean, there's no real sense of when he'll be out there playing, but I just think the fact that, yeah, you get him in pads, you get him working. The most important thing with a rookie is that he is connected, right, mentally to what's going on, that he's seeing it and seeing it illustrated in practice so that when he gets the call and is in pads, he's more ready to go.
And I just like the fact that it's progressing. There hasn't been a setback. We talked about him doing running. Then we talked about him, you know, going another step, and now he's here in pads. So it seems to be going in the right direction every day, whether or not he's ready for week one. To me, obviously, you'd like to have him out there. He's a difference maker. The pass rush is going to be huge as we talk about this matchup for the Cleveland Browns. But the fact that it keeps going in the right direction without a setback or a regression is positive to me, and it makes me think that we're going to see Barkevious Mingo much sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I hope that's the case. He plays such a vital role. I think he can have an enormous impact on a defense that already has some enormous impact players. He's just one more to the mix, but it would be nice to have him out there and tearing after Ryan Tannehill on Sunday. It would be lovely to see that, because you've got this young second-year quarterback who I believe is the least developed of all the second-year quarterbacks coming in. I think he falls in the category of least developed because of his limited time
as
at quarterback
starter
in college.
Sure.
Those 19 college starts is a very slim resume, and then you're talking about playing his first year in the NFL. You're talking about a guy who is still, everything I've heard out of Miami, and we'll get into this with Andy Kent too, but everything I've heard out of Miami is that he is still, and showed this in practice, finding his way, trying to, understand better about reading defenses and making his progression of reads and being comfortable in the pocket and knowing what he's supposed to look at and where he's supposed to go with the ball. Those are things that inexperience hurt.
Yeah, I think the one advantage he has over another quarterback who would be in that same situation is that his coach in college followed him and is now his offensive coordinator in the NFL. So at least he's been with Mike Sherman throughout that process. So that's got to help. But I think you're exactly right. He's learning the position. I thought he played pretty well as a rookie last year, all things considered. They've gotten him new weapons this year. And I think the most important thing, as you talked about, is for the Browns to be able to get pressure on him. If they generate pressure on Ryan Tannehill, make him uncomfortable in the pocket, you got Joe Hayden taking away Mike Wallace on one side of the field. I think that this defense is going to have a very strong showing in the season opener, and the pressure will be the key for that.
All right, we're going to have a conversation coming up with Tom Withers. With Andy Kent. Tom Withers at the bottom of the hour. I got to get the audible straight here too. Andy Kent, who covers the Dolphins for Dolphins.com. Let's get a rundown on the Browns' season opening opponent. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850 WK.
4 days.
I love you.